Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Sunday service from First Baptist Church of Rochelle. In-person Sunday services have restarted at First Baptist, and we would like to invite each one of you to come out and visit us at 10:30 a.m. First Baptist Church is located just 6 blocks west of Highway 251 on the corner of 8th Avenue and Wolf Court in Rochelle. Let's turn now to today's message by Pastor Callen.
Welcome to another service here at First Baptist Church of Rochelle, Illinois. I'm glad that you have shown up this morning after Christmas yesterday. I trust that you had a great day. I trust that as you spent some time perhaps with your family, maybe some friends, that it's been an enjoyable time, just a lot of fun, maybe some parties that you were having, but a time also to reflect upon the very fact of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That Christmas is all about Christ and about God and the gift that He's given to us. That unspeakable gift of salvation. That glorious gift that is given to us by grace. So I trust you had a great day yesterday. And it's great to be in the house of the Lord today. And I want to invite you to take your Bibles and open to the book of Luke chapter 2. Once again, we're going back to the Luke chapter 2 as we look at a different part of the Christmas story this morning. And before I get going too far here and forget to make this announcement, due to no action upon ourselves, but our radio broadcast is going to be changing time in the month of January. The radio station has informed us that there's going to have to be a change made because of some syndicated programming that is going to move into our time slot. So on January 9th, the First Baptist Church broadcast is going to start at 8:30 in the morning. So 8:30 in the morning on January 9th, we're moving to that new time. We're being forced into that. We have no choice in that. So we will just trust the Lord that that's the time that you can tune in for those who are listening on the radio. And for you folks here in the auditorium, then we'll still be here at 10:30, though, for our morning service. So we look forward to the opportunity here to continue to present the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, I'm looking today at the first preachers of the gospel. And you might begin to think, let's see, first preachers of the gospel, the apostles, maybe the book of Acts, something like that. Maybe John the Baptist, you might call that even the first preacher of the gospel. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No, not really. The first preachers of the gospel are found right here in the gospel of Luke, chapter 2, at the birth of Christ. We're looking at the shepherds today. And so follow along there in your Bible, and you'll, I think, begin to see where I get this title today. Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. The Bible says that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What a glorious night A night in which Joseph and Mary arriving in Bethlehem, I believe, that very night, and finding that there was no room anywhere for them to stay, and noticing that there was seemingly an empty stall out there in the stable, and so they went out to the stable, and there Joseph making Mary as comfortable as possible, and in that night the Lord Jesus Christ is born. And not having any kind of a cradle or anything to put the Lord Jesus in, Mary had some swaddling clothes, the wrappings that they would wrap up a newborn with, and she had those with her, knowing that, you know, this time was about to come, and she wrapped up the Lord Jesus Christ and laid him in that manger. As I was preaching on a different part of this on a Wednesday night, in a Wednesday night Bible study, actually, we were studying this, you may think, well, a manger, what a dirty place for the Lord to be laid. And I asked the folks that night, I said, well, have you ever looked at a feed trough that the cattle might have used? And most folks probably have not seen those things, but having grown up on the farm, and we had a pretty good number of beef cattle, and as we would put the feed into those troughs, and really we only put that in there for the milk cow. The beef cattle were fed outside, and they were fed in a different way. But the old milk cow, her name was Sally, and she was a Guernsey. And as we would put that feed in there every night and then every morning for her to be munching on while she was milked, you know, that trough really was not very dirty, because that old cow's tongue would lick that trough and get right into those very corners, get the last grains of the feed that was there. And actually, the trough was really not that dirty of a spot. And so being laid into this manger, wrapped in those swaddling clothes, it was all wrapped up, but it really wasn't that dirty of a place. But as we look at the first preachers of the gospel today, I trust that you'll open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And those of you who have already been saved, somewhere in the past, you've got that testimony. You knew you were a sinner. You came to that conclusion, that realization. And maybe it was a great burden of pressure upon your heart. And you said, I've got to get saved. And you got saved. Whatever was the situation for you, you were probably excited at that time. You were probably rejoicing. You were probably just thanking God and praising him for having sent Christ and for forgiving you of your sin and making you whole, washing you clean with the blood of Christ through faith. And it was a time to be really happy and to be excited. I remember when I got saved. I was 12 and a half years old. And I had been hearing the gospel ever since I was a newborn. I know my parents have talked about having taken me to church when I was about 2 weeks old, and they'd lay me right there in the pew, and when I got a little bit older, then Mom would bring some Cheerios, and I guess I'd munch on those things, and maybe a little toy to play with when I got a little bit older than that, and just sat there hearing the Bible as I was growing then, and even as a child, as a boy, as a junior in the junior department, hearing these messages all the time. And finally, when I was 12 and a half years old, I realized I'm a sinner. It kind of had gone in one ear and out the other, you know, in all those years prior. But I finally realized that night, I'm a sinner. And it was in revival meetings. I've never asked Jesus to save me. If I were to die right now, I'd go to hell because I've never trusted Christ. I've heard about him, but I've never trusted him as my Savior. And so that night, I bowed my head, and I asked God to forgive me of my sinfulness. I asked him to be my Savior. I asked him to wash my heart white as snow. I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life and to be my Lord. Now, as a 12-and-a-half-year-old boy, yeah, I probably didn't understand everything, but I knew enough. I knew enough that I needed Christ. I needed Jesus. And that night, I got saved. And I became then somewhat of a preacher for Christ. I remember going to school the next day and telling my teacher, my friend had gotten saved that same night. And we both went up to our teacher's desk the next morning and we said, last night at revival meetings, we got saved. And she was genuinely happy that we had done that. Sad to say, though, that as years went by through the rest of those junior years and into high school, I really wasn't much of a preacher for Christ. I really wasn't one to share my testimony. I didn't really tell my high school classmates about how they could get saved. I just kind of kept it to myself. Oh, they knew I went to church. They knew those kinds of things. But I never was really a preacher for Christ until I was in my early 20s as a young married man and began then to get involved in the local church. The first preachers of the gospel we find right here in the book of Luke on the very night that Christ was born. Let's begin by looking here at verse 9, and we see how this announcement then that the angel is giving to them, it was an announcement that was given to people with readied hearts. Readied hearts. The angel came to some shepherds watching their flocks by night. Shepherds that were out on the hills, probably not too far outside of town. Shepherds would be watching the sheep and just keeping making sure that maybe some wolves wouldn't come by to snatch a lamb out of the flock, and just any other animals. They probably kept a little fire going, and they could see the flock out there maybe in the moonlight if there was moonlight that night. They could keep an eye on them, and they would know if the sheep were bleating an alarm, and they would get up and go check out what that was. And so they're there. They're ready to watch their flock. But here the angel comes to them. The angel didn't come to the priest at the temple. The angel didn't come to the Pharisees in the city. The angel didn't come to the scribes that had copied the scriptures for all those years. But they came to some shepherds out on a hillside because their hearts were ready to hear the message. You know, the word of God comes to those who will receive it. Jesus sent out his disciples later on as he had gathered those men together, and he sent them out to preach the gospel and to also to do miracles. And he says, so if you go into a village and they don't receive you, they don't want to hear your message, they don't want you to be around, go to the edge of the city and shake the dust off your robes and off your feet and say, you know, you may God then take care of you, meaning judgment, and then go on to the next village because they're not ready to hear the gospel. These men were ready. Some of the religious people of the day, they were not ready to hear the message that was given. You know, if someone's not interested in the gospel and you're trying to witness to them, you're trying to tell them about how they need to get saved, and there's just no interest, then leave them. Well, you can continue to pray for them, but quit wasting your time on them. Go to somebody else that wants to hear the gospel. Go to the place where the finger of God is working in somebody's life. Don't keep trying to raise the interest in a dead piece of wood, because the Holy Spirit's not working on their heart. So it's a great lesson for us to learn there too. Be working where the finger of God is working. And here the angel came to men who were ready to hear this message that the Savior was born. It was men who were not necessarily expecting something that night. They might have been thinking, oh, you know, it sure would be great if God would send the Messiah. Oh, we're looking for Jehovah to do something great here in our nation. But they weren't expecting it that night. They weren't expecting it to come by way of an angel. Because when they saw the angel, they were scared to death. So they were not expecting it. And they were involved in their normal work, you know, watching their flock by night. Somebody was staying awake, keeping track of the sheep. They were men who were ready to hear the message. Not only ready in their hearts, but they were ready that night. They were awake. The angel didn't have to wake them up wait for them to really get their mind awake. They were already awake. They saw it immediately. And so the announcement was given to people with a heart that was ready to hear it. Are you ready to hear God's message? Are you ready to hear the Holy Spirit leading in your life? Are you ready for God's word to turn you around if that's what is necessary? Are you ready to do what God wants you to do? You know, we should have hearts that are ready to respond in a moment as the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and convicts us of maybe of sin in our life or convinces us of an action that we need to take. Oh, learn from the shepherds. Be ready to hear whatever the message is from God. When you come into this place every Sunday, when you folks on the radio tune in every Sunday, have your Bibles ready and be ready to move in your heart wherever God would move you. Have a heart that is ready. Secondly, we look at the message that was given by this angel. And then the meaning of that message that was given. You know, it's really interesting when we begin to look at it. We see in verse 10, the angel says that there is going to be good tidings of great joy to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The angel said, in the city of David. Well, these shepherds would know that's Bethlehem, and they were probably just right outside the city area. And as these shepherds probably also knew, they would have heard the reading of the scriptures in the temple, and they would have known that the Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, and that was the town that they were right there beside. You say, well, how do you know that they really knew that? Because when the wise men, several weeks and maybe a few months later came, by the time they followed that star and traveled that long distance, it was not the night of the birth. So when they came later, and the star was not visible to them when they arrived there in Jerusalem, so they thought, well, where do we go to find out about where's the king of the Jews born? Well, they're going to know it over there at the palace. Let's go to the palace. So they go into the palace. They're ushered in to King Herod. And they ask Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've come to worship him. And Herod said, what? I haven't heard about anything like that. And he turned to those scribes and those religious leaders, and he's there in his own court, and he said, where is this supposed to be? And they said, oh, that's easy. It's supposed to be over in Bethlehem. And so Herod told them, go to Bethlehem, and when you get there and you worship him, then come back and tell me so I can come and worship him. But all of that was a lie. Herod wanted nothing more than just to kill that child, but we're not going to get into that today. So the message and the meaning here, it's going to be, they were supposed to go into the city of Bethlehem. It was prophesied that's where he would live, and that's where he would be born. And the message that the angel said, for behold, we bring, or the one angel here, he says, I bring you good tidings. You, not for us angels, the message is for you men, you people. When God sent his son, it was for us people to receive the blessing from that. And it was meant to be a blessing. It was meant to be something of great joy there. Also in verse 10, tidings of great joy. You know, something that is supposed to be a tidings of great joy is something not to keep secret, but to share it, to tell others. It wasn't something to keep to themselves. And so they were supposed to tell others about this. Makes me wonder, how long has it been since we have told somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you took your Bible and opened it to some of these salvation passages and you began to share that with someone else and to explain them what these verses mean and what it means here to be saved by grace and what it means to have faith, what it means that Christ died on the cross for you as your substitute, what it means to have Jesus Christ as our high priest, what it means for his resurrection, what it means for the fact that he paid for sin one time. Have you ever, how long has it been since you've taken your Bible and shown somebody these truths? Maybe it's been way too long. Maybe for some, it's something you have never done. These shepherds were told this message and how it was a time of great joy and it was to all people. They were supposed to go tell people about this. That's what we today are to be doing also. Telling people about the great joy of Christmas and what it really means. And the message also said it's a Savior. For unto you is born this day a Savior in the city of David. A Savior to those who would accept it. A Savior to everyone who would turn to him in faith. A Savior to whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. But not everyone would do that. And so it was impossible for him to be the savior of those who would reject him. It would be impossible for him to be the savior of those who wanted to try to get saved some other way, but only to those who would receive him. In John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "He to them who received him, he gave the right to become the sons of God." So the message was that it's in Bethlehem, it's a time of great joy, and there is born a Savior for you. And there's a Savior for you today. I trust you know Christ is your Savior. I trust that you're trying to tell other people about Christ. But if you're not, how I exhort you to make a commitment today that you're going to begin telling people about Christ. Well, thirdly, after the announcement that was given to those readied hearts, and secondly, the message of that announcement, thirdly, we see the evidence that they were given to make their discovery once they got to Bethlehem. So the evidence of their discovery in verse 12, and the angel said, "And this shall be a sign unto you." Okay, we're supposed to go into Bethlehem. Remember, when Joseph and Mary got to Bethlehem, why, there's so many people that have come because they've all got to come for this census that had been ordered by Caesar Augustus. So there's a lot of people in town. And how are we going to find where this king, this new savior is? Where is he going to be? So the angel says in verse 12, "Here's a sign unto you. You shall find the babe." You know, maybe they didn't know it was going to be a baby. Maybe they thought, oh, there's going to be there's a prince in town now. The Messiah is a man that's in town now. No, it's a baby. "This shall be a sign. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And that was their clue. That was the evidence they had. And so it was a babe that they were looking for, not some young, powerful prince. They didn't need to try to go over to the Hilton to see if they was over there, because that's not where this family was. He was in those swaddling clothes, which were what the poorer people used, so not in some kind of robes of royalty. And he was in a manger, not in any house, not in some bed somewhere. And so they'd have to ask themselves as they're heading into town, how many places in town have mangers? You know, they probably are counting them off on their fingers. Well, there's the inn, and there's this place, and there's that place. And so there was really not that many places that have mangers for the public. And so they knew where the kind of place that they were going to be looking for. So the evidence that had been given them, a lot of people, but they had enough evidence to find him. Well, then we see after the evidence was given to them, then there was a multitude of the heavenly host with that one angel praising God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. That angelic chorus, it must have been magnificent. It must have been wonderful. A multitude of the heavenly host giving glory to God. You know, what a blessing it is that when we're singing congregational songs here in our church, and you just let it come out because you're just excited about what God has done for you in your life. You've come to worship him in these places here, sitting in those pews or standing there, and as you're singing the song, you just let it come out, and the chorus of all of the voices here, whether they're beautiful or not, because in the congregation, they kind of get lost, but the sound of it all brings glory to God. Oh, think about how you sing the songs that we sing. Are you just standing there and just kind of singing, just kind of low? I want to make sure nobody really hears me next to me. Oh, give glory to God. Sing out. Let it come from your heart. And hopefully some of the notes are actually hit, but that's not the important part. The important part is let it out and let me singing. Sing these great hymns of the faith and these songs that we sing, the gospel songs. Sing them with an excitement unto this God that has saved you. So that angelic chorus. You know, Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Even as we look up into the sky, we see God's glory in all of the stars, and some of them are brighter than others, and we see the formations of the stars, and we see the sky during the daytime. We see the beauty of this world, and it all gives glory unto God. Because that's what the Apostle Paul said over in Romans 1, when people wanted to try to reject God, and they're trying to do that yet again today, these days now. They're trying to look at creation and say, oh, it's been done by evolution. And remember, it's called the theory of evolution. There's no fact to it at all. It's a theory of evolution. But the Bible says in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's us. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Meaning that we can look around in our world and we can see the creation and we can say, hey, this did not just happen. This didn't happen slowly over millions of years. This was done by a creator God. This was made by an intelligent being. And His book is right here in our hands called the Bible. Evolution is just simply an idea of man who wants to reject what the scriptures have already told us. So the angelic chorus gives that glory to God, and we in our life should give glory to God. Well, we look at the response. Here's the fifth thing. We look at the response from these shepherds. And in verse 15, we see that it was immediate. The verse says that it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. See this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. See, these men were already, their hearts were ready. They were believers in God. They trusted Jehovah. And they said, God's made this available to us. Let's go. Let's go. You know what? I think they all went. I don't know how many were there, but I think they all went. I don't think they worried about the sheep, because I believe that, as they said, the angels have told us that we need to go. God's going to take care of the sheep. We don't have to worry about any animals coming in and scattering the flock or killing any of them. Let's all go. And however many it was, they all went. The response was immediate. What a great example for us that when the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, rather than arguing with God, and we do that a lot, don't we? We argue with God and we drag our feet and we say, well, I don't know, I need a little more information. Well, I don't know, I need to see something in the sky. I don't know, I need to have God really impress it on my heart. Oh, I don't know, I think I'm going to wait a while. Oh, Lord, after a few more years when I get my life in order, then I'll do these things. And what usually happens is that we've let the moment pass and it never comes back. Respond immediately when the Holy Spirit is working on you. Respond immediately when you've been close to God and there's something you need to respond. Do it right then. Well, we look here at the joy that they had of telling the message. Verse 17 says, when they'd seen it, they made known abroad that saying which was told them concerning this child. This is the first preachers of the gospel. That there's a Savior that has been born. He's there as has been prophesied in the Old Testament. He has come to save us. That's why He's called a Savior. Just like the woman at the well, after she was put her faith in Christ, she went and told all the townspeople there in Samaria. Like the demoniac at Gadara, after he had gotten saved by Christ, the demon cast out, and he's seated by Christ and in his right mind and clothed. And when it was time for Jesus to leave that day, he's starting to crawl in the boat with the Lord, and the Lord says, no, you stay here. You stay here and tell your friends what God has done for you. Oh, there is this message that we need to spread throughout all of our circle, all of our world. Be those first preachers of the gospel. Be a preacher like those shepherds. Amen. Give glory to God and be the preacher today.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear this message from Pastor Callan. We invite you to tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. to listen to Pastor Callan's message for that day. Thanks again, stay safe, and have a great day.